This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You and I have unfinished business.
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Get away from her, you...
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
At the Movies on BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Binge Watch on At the Movies. I'm Umar Pagan, Ampike Pagan, alongside Ian McNally and Bahe Yusuf. We've got a special guest today, fellow Trekkie, because I like Trekkie, I don't like Trekker, Richard Bradbury.
Hello.
Thank you very much for joining us. You've been following the series as avidly as
we have,
and we've been trying to get you on the show for a long time.
I know. But busy man.
Busy. Star Trek Discovery, Season 1, Episode 14, The War Without, The War Within. We finally get to breathe in an episode of Discovery. As in, it isn't just full of phaser battles and twists and turns and betrayals.
Well, there is a phaser battle with some fortune cookies.
That was a wonderful scene.
That was uncalled for.
I'm just wondering if she murdered the Tribble off screen as well.
That's true, though.
Or if Lorca brought it back with him to the Mirror Universe.
So the one thing about that particular scene that got me was, are they trying to write Jason Isaacs out? Because she just goes, no Federation captain can survive in the Mirror Universe alone. Either that, or they're trying to build him up as an even bigger badass.
Yeah. You can't tell with Discovery, right?
Yeah.
So this is probably the most classic Trek episode yet. There was a science experiment. There were two moral dilemmas with Ash and with Philippa Georgiou. We got Genesis Light. Mm-hmm. And we got Tilly and gang go full Starfleet and have lunch with a murderer. Yeah. It's what you do, right? It's like, oh, you know. And that being said, that was that fantastic
quote she said?
Tilly, right?
Yeah.
What we do now, the way we treat him is what he will become.
Right.
That is full Federation.
Yeah, I mean, and it's also the full Starfleet because they deal with stuff, such weird stuff on a day-to-day basis. We went to a Mirror Universe. I impersonated a murderer for a couple of weeks.
I guess the least I could do is sit down with this guy that actually murdered people.
Yeah, and that we know, like, they actually know scientifically it wasn't quite him. It's not like, I was brainwashed. It's like, it was actually a completely different mind.
So they just accept it. And it's like, you know, hey, pass me this ketchup.
It's just one of those things in Starfleet.
You just accept it and move on.
Normal. Yeah.
Last week I was possessed by a brain-eating parasite, but I'm okay now.
Yeah. Okay,
Ta-da! No, I like this breather episode. I thought it was a lot more. I think it's one of my favorite episodes of the season, just because we got to see so much character development from everyone, right?
It was all B plot. It was like B plots that they would normally cram in with the A plots in the other episodes. They kind of snuck in here.
Your Breaking Burnham continues.
Yeah.
This time now we bring in Sarek and Georgiou together, join forces to break Burnham even more.
Oh, I thought you were referring to Tyler again, because
thing
of like
that,
all her crewmates can, you know, totally, we'll deal with them as fine. And she's like, I've been through enough.
Yeah,
I can't deal with this on top of everything else. On top of having to deal with my dead captain now coming back to command the ship. I was just laughing my ass off, when Philippa Georgiou just steps onto the bridge and they introduce her as captain.
Right,
Because I thought, okay, they'll introduce her as something else. But then, oh no, it's the real captain back. It's like, this is going to end badly.
The look on Saru's face as well, when you know, Captain Georgiou.
Like, I just got this job.
Exactly, right? It's like, poor Saru, come on. You know, give him a break.
also, Cornwell steals it away from him first.
Yeah.
And she's, well, I guess maybe she's been flying a desk for so long, she gets freaked out easily. Because that was a great scene as well, when, you know, when they get to Starbase 1 and it's destroyed and she's frozen and Saru steps up to the plate once again. And I'm just like, yeah, Doug Jones, you show them how it's done.
But he's only had a couple of weeks in the Mirror Universe of tension and hiding, whereas she's had 9 months of constant Klingon war on her face.
And Lord knows what else before that, right? Just to get her to that position. So
I was trying to check where Starbase 1 was, and Wikipedia says it was like, they said it was 100 astral units from Earth, but apparently, if you see in the background, you can see Florida and something.
Yeah, I noticed that, actually, yeah.
Yeah, was it?
Yeah,
so Earth has fallen.
Yeah.
Has Earth fallen?
Well, I guess if the starbase is gone, I mean, that's like invading the car park and not invading the castle.
What? So, Richard, you were not a fan of last week's episode.
Mm-hmm.
At least not as big a fan of it as we were.
Right.
You had some issues with it.
Yeah.
Is this episode redemptive?
I don't know. I mean, I did enjoy this episode. I mean, because like you said, it leaves a lot of really, really open-ended questions. But I think there's elements throughout this whole episode that points towards a very obvious kind of answer without knowing who's going to be like the real bad guy. I mean, the whole thing with the Giorgio, you know, where she comes out and she says, you know, give me freedom. And she says this to Sarek, you know, and then Sarek has that whole long goodbye with, you know, Burnham. And you're thinking, okay, right, who's going to be sacrificed in the next episode? You know, that was a kind of, that's what I kind of felt about this episode. It felt as though it's pointing towards a real finale, you know, and that's what I liked about this.
So Sarek, Giorgio, and Tyler team up on a do-or-die mission?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, you know, I mean, somebody is going to be sacrificed. And who is the one person that, you know, has got nothing to lose in this whole thing right now? It's Tyler, right?
Metalhead lady.
Or metalhead lady, yes.
Detmer, is it?
Detmer.
She's got a name, yeah.
She's got a name. They're using it more.
They're getting more lines.
Yeah. She's smiling. Yeah. No, also, I mean, what I loved most about this episode was Giorgio's character, because it's great. Like, here she is, whispering all this nastiness into the ears of the Federation, who are desperate.
It turns out that as bad as the United Federation of Planets meme is for their universe, she's just as bad for ours. It's like a poison.
Correct. And that's what's so great, because it also sets up Burnham's redemption, right? Because
she's going to have to kill her again.
Yeah. Oh, either that. Oh, man, that'll hurt. Meanwhile, no, because someone's got to fail. Like, either Cornwell or Sarek, or someone's got to break and be like, no, we have to do this for our survival. And Burnham's got to step up to the plate and be like, this is the Federation.
And at some, I mean, flying to the heart of the Klingon homeworld for a mapping mission and then some whatever Giorgio has up her sleeve sounds like a really good way to answer the question of why the spore drive isn't around in the following series.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Well, they also very briefly, in a throwaway line, explained why the Mirror Universe wasn't in the original series. It's like, well, we've got to delete all evidence of it because people want to go and save their loved ones.
That was a really good backup.
Right?
Or cop out, you mean?
Yeah. No, but I really think that's a valid, like, it's a valid, how would I put it, argument, right? Because there's been a 9-month war, a lot of people have died. If they knew the Mirror Universe was out there, they'd want to go and save it. So now, let's not talk about it ever again.
Yeah, exactly. You could go there, just shave off the goatee, hope they become better.
And that kind of happened an awful lot in Deep Space Nine. They constantly kept coming over here to steal stuff that they could use over there to make their side better. I think they were looking for cloaking devices.
Yes, that's right.
So you can every time they interact, it impacts the other side massively.
It's
we
never
talked before,
a good thing,
like the Terran Empire fell after the first encounter with the Enterprise. So yeah, keep it under wraps.
Yesterday we dined on the entrails of his brethren.
Yes.
Within 5 minutes of the opening, and I was like, oh, calm down.
She didn't really get the concept of the Mirror Universe.
She didn't get that at
it's
all.
Like, ease off on the cannibalism, man.
She was like, Empress to you. Like, whoa.
And then, of course, everyone else is just like on the nose with it as well, with the whole, I say, the resemblance is startling.
Yeah, the resemblance is startling is ridiculous. It's like they straightened her hair. That's it.
Gave her a hairpiece, got rid of the bob.
Giving her the haircut back at the end was ridiculous. It's like, oh, it's the same person now. It's like, wow.
That's all it takes, man.
The Klingons, those bastards straightened her hair.
It's a top secret rescue mission. She's alive.
Left it like that.
She's alive. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, like, I didn't see that coming. I honestly didn't see her reprise her role as captain in that sense. So when it happened, I was genuinely surprised at it. At first, the most I thought would happen was that she would play this kind of antagonist. She would
Sit in the room and poke
everyone, right?
Or go off somewhere and be used later. Like, I've had to look up because I forgot what happened to Cornwell. She was like she got off the ship before they went to the Mirror Universe,
which seems
like, okay, we don't want to pay this guest star anymore. But actually, it's not like, no, we're just going to bring her back and have her be super pissed off later on.
Yeah.
Like, Michelle Yeoh's still like, she's a recurring character again. It's like, what you're saying about like someone should die is like, Discovery has every week thwarted expectations and done things that we would never expect. So they could all die. No one could die. That guy in the background we never think about could die. Like, it's literally all up in the air.
Right. Yeah.
And it is one episode left, right?
15. One episode left. And I did notice that Jason Isaac's name is still in the opening credits.
Yes, I was going to say,
But did they change the credits per episode? I don't think, did they?
Only for Michelle Yeoh. So when she wasn't in it, they wouldn't put the special guest star thing.
I stopped. I started skipping the credits. That theme tune still hasn't grown on me.
I also like how the writers spend just a little bit of time addressing throwaway bits. So, for example, the Cornwell and Laurel thing. You didn't need it, but I think it added a layer to the episode. Because
Laurel Nacelle?
Yeah, Laurel Nacelle. But, you know, them talking about their false mutiny escape thing and, you know, she
remember
going,
that time we broke out of the clean
sheet exactly.
together?
Look, you're finally on Discovery. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah. And it was a nice moment that was unnecessary. And then I thought that conversation got really good when she was like, how will this war end? And Laurel was like, it won't. They've tasted your blood.
Yeah. But that, I mean, that didn't teach us anything, though, did it? I mean, it's what we already know. You know,
It's what we already know. The audience know it, but Starfleet don't.
True.
And then Sarek said it as well, where Starfleet's strategies aren't working.
Right. Mm. Yeah.
I guess what it taught us was that they're going to go to the extreme if necessary. Right.
Yeah.
Also, they spend a lot of money just on that CG scene just to show that they've changed the ISS back to USS. Yeah. I thought that was cute. I was like, really? You spent all of that? I think we get it, but thank you for showing me.
Speaking of, I don't know if I'm disappointed or what, or whether it's a red herring, but they're just like, oh, but we found the Discovery's wreckage. And it's like, oh, no, all the evil guys are gone. It's like,
are they?
Or are they? Yeah. You know, maybe they just lost one engine and they're limping around somewhere, but they're not the spore drive, so.
I'd love to see Villain Tilly again.
Yes.
Captain Killy all over again.
Captain
Killy,
yeah.
Captain Killy face off with, you know, with Cadet Tilly or something. Yeah. She's cadet, right? Yeah.
Well, by that time, she should be captain in season two.
Oh. Wearing her murder wig. Love the murder wig. Burnham and Tyler, Stamets and Tyler, the one thing I liked about those bits is that, we're not going to make it easy for them to get back together. I like that Stamets is still pissed off and angry, that he's finally addressed the death of his loved one.
But he's still, like, they're Starfleet, so they're not quite, you know, the Jean-Luc Picard's turn the other cheek, but they are a little bit better. He's like, does it sicken you? And then it's not like, you know, like, he's not going to stab him with a knife then, but it's like, then you're maybe you're still human. Like, you know, he sees that this guy's hurting.
I like that.
He's hurting too.
Yeah.
But, and like, they're not total dicks about it. They're kind of in touch with their feelings.
Just like, you know, Stamets is not, you know, lunging at him, you murderer! Yeah. Hands around his neck. I like that it was a very adult, you know, Federation sort of confrontation, right? Does it hurt you? Then you may still be human.
They're a little bit better than us, but they're not all the way better than us.
Yeah, yeah.
It is the same with, Sonequa Martin-Green's performance in that scene with Tyler in that room they seem to have made specifically for that scene.
Look at the view. We created something beautiful, so let's have an argument about our relationship.
On the wall. Like, are they in the Discovery's brewery room or something like that? There was these weird little tap things. It's like, what is it? There's a pole in the middle, was there?
It's the nightclub room.
It's really small. But her, we forget that the show is about her so much. We don't think we talk about her performance enough. Really, it's watching this where she is doing this very fine line between high drama and you tried to murder me and you're a different person now, but that's still hard to deal with. Mm. And I'm already working on myself.
Yeah.
And you need to do that for yourself first. So just, I have to let you go.
You can't deal with this right now. Yeah.
I love that confrontation. I just thought it was really true to how both of the characters would react. I mean, his lash out at her first.
Yeah.
Just going, I killed some people, but this is your fault. I thought that was brilliant.
And everybody else is okay with me. Why can't you be?
Exactly.
It's like, what? You know.
It just seemed like a really weird argument to make, you know.
But it was really real.
He hasn't got a leg to stand on.
Absolutely.
He's grasping at straws.
And it was good.
You left the toilet seat down.
And it was good because you don't fix that so easily.
No.
In every other Star Trek, it would be fixed in a night.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or he'd be off to Starbase something and just like away with him.
Yeah. Right, right.
And ending with a great quote, right? She says, we've created something beautiful today in a desolate wasteland that had never seen life.
Mm.
And that is pretty much what Discovery has done with Star Trek. What else happened in this episode? They've got, we've talked about Georgiou, we've talked about Ash and Burnham. I guess the only other major development was the Genesis Light thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is, which we were worried about last week when we were talking about the spores and how they were going to get back into the mycelium plane. They fixed that in 5 minutes.
That was the other thing. Oh, they've just happened to do it. Go here, do that. Mm. Within 15 minutes, it's all up and running again. Yeah, why couldn't they have found any other planet where they were? Why did they have to go to that particular...
like the way, again, that they've already addressed it, because he's like, oh, the Admiral said we should keep it under wraps instead of just having it free range. But now it's free range. Screw it, we're at war.
Let's just warp through all these Klingons, find this planet right on the other side, and then we'll drop the spores.
I like how they say, like, oh, but it's so dangerous to walk across because the Klingons everywhere.
They said it really nicely. It was like, the journey at warp will be perilous. The Klingons have swarmed the quadrant.
Yeah.
Beep, we're here.
That's true.
Like, oh, okay. That was easy.
I also like how the first thing the Klingons do is like raise a flag. Hey, we destroyed Starbase One. Let's put our logo on it.
It just felt like they tagged it, like some graffiti artist. You know?
Like, that's some Counter-Strike stuff going on right there. Got your base.
It's the phases for tag.
Yeah.
But again, they're having gang wars. So.
Yeah.
Which I like, actually. We didn't talk about that. I think I love that idea, which really ties back to what Takuvma was trying to do in the first episode, in the sense that, oh, we're seeing a logical progression of that. You know, no leadership, everyone's having a gang war, they're turning on each other as well as the humans.
And the Admiral had a weird kind of othering of the Klingons. I mean, from the... Laurel said it perfectly as well, like, the Federation can't help themselves for you as a universal homogenization, and you bring everything without help, without even trying, you just do it.
You just do it.
And the Admiral kept going on like they're acting without reason. They're like, they're starting to reduce them to the kind of idea of animals, which I think the Admiral's going to try and do something probably with Georgiou and Sarek that's absolutely terrifying, and the real Starfleet crew will have to step up and say, like, we don't do that kind of thing. Mm. Or if you would like to do that thing, there's a mirror universe over here where they're fine with that, but we don't do that thing around this neighborhood. Because that's a weird... The Starfleet doesn't do that. I mean, yes, their tactics aren't working, but they still wouldn't never really go all-out extermination.
Yeah, you just have to leave it all in the hands of a despot. You know, so she can be the person who wiped out Klingons in two universes.
Yeah, and then you can send her to prison, and she's fine. We didn't do anything.
Problem solved.
Yeah.
Done.
I still think that the only way this can end without any trace of the Discovery is somehow the Discovery crew ends up being the forefathers of the secret organization in Federation that... you know, does bad things.
Section 31.
Section 31. Mm. I don't know, because it's that or they have to do some timey-wimey stuff in the last episode or in the next season, because there's so much that has happened here.
They do some stuff that brings the Klingon Empire to its knees, and then they warp forward and end up in the second... They end up in Praxis, the moon of Kronos, and that explodes, and then Kirk and the boys have to come in Star Trek. Discovery accidentally caused a Star Trek 6.
Yeah, I don't know, because how else would you explain the Federation almost getting wiped out and then 10 years later Kirk and Spock are like, hey, Federation's amazing again in just 10 years?
It sounds like the production team didn't quite get the memo on how much of the Federation space the Klingons were supposed to have.
Mm.
Because they're like, they've won everything. And it's like, oh, well, we still have Starbase 1 and 15 and 72, and there's a few more ships out there, and the Admiral's around.
Just
and we've got these guys.
Just that particular corner.
Yeah, they forgot to scroll to page 2.
Yeah, that was the next one. Yeah.
So, I mean, 10 years, the Federation, you know, they have a lot of technology. They could, if the Klingons pull back all the way back, then out of the Federation space, it could all be set up again by the time Kirk and Spock and those are going around.
But they've got a proper spore drive now, again,
and
they can do all kinds of things.
Yeah, but there's still only one Stamets.
Like jumping inside a planet,
you
know. Yeah. Can we just talk about that for a second?
Okay. Let's talk about the Death Star move.
Right. Yeah. Doesn't that, you know, when they said, okay, we're going to warp inside, it's made of these volcanic tunnels, we're going to be inside the planet, and we'll just scan it from inside. And, you know, I'm thinking, there's all these fantastic brains in there. Surely somebody's going to go, that's a stupid idea.
That sounds really scary, yeah. But even the explanation of it, though. Oh, I've had experience in the mycelial network. I can tell apart, you know, space from dense rock.
What was it? We're not going to do it from the sky. And I was like, man.
But the look on the Admiral's face was like this admiration of, yeah, all right, yeah.
But again, you need to look at these guys' average week.
Right.
Like, on average, we went to a mirror universe, we fought versions of ourselves in other Star Treks.
This guy's a Klingon, but not.
You know, Next Generation, like, we deal with the kind, basically, God every so often. He just pops up and annoys us. So, I don't know, jumping inside a planet seems like just a normal Tuesday.
Yeah, sure, why not? Let's do that, yeah.
I just want to know how far these guys are going to push it, because they have to maintain some sort of continuity with the rest of Trekverse. Because if this was set in the Kelvin universe, they could do whatever the damn well pleased. Mm. But they've set it in the Prime universe, which means... What? I mean, they can't destroy Kronos. Mm-hmm. They can't just go, we've blown it up from the inside.
Someone mentioned on our... I posted the podcast on Reddit, and someone mentioned there about using Mudd's time machine.
Oh.
Which is like, oh, that'd be a good idea.
Yes.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Because they do like to just like, if they show you something, they show you something for a reason.
Yeah, right.
Except that bloody tribble.
Yeah. I'm still waiting
for now.
I'm just waiting for it to get pissed at Tyler at some point. Like that's the only reason that's got to be there, is that it gets annoyed when it
happens. You know what happens, right? At the season finale, there's just a throwaway scene where the tribble goes when Tyler walks past, and people are like, maybe Volk is still inside there.
Oh no, the admiral sits down, and then the tribble loses its shit.
Wait, didn't the admiral shoot the tribble though on the desk?
No.
That was the fortune cookies.
Of course he was. Sorry.
Yes. Only the fortune cookies.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's 10 years before the original series. Yes. So we've got
10 years.
A lot can happen in 10 years.
Ah. I don't know. What any predictions for the finale? I have no idea where this is going. I really don't.
Is it extra long, the finale? I don't know.
Is it?
They haven't said. There's no running time for the finale.
Mm. Yeah, if there's one thing that Discovery has taught us, is that we can't expect anything. Mm.
Yeah.
I like the full circleness of it. I like that we're back with Georgiou as captain, and now we have the Burnham, Sarek, who have become fast friends, mm-hmm. and I have a feeling they're going to get torn apart again.
He's not going to die, because he has to be in later episodes, unless they completely break the timeline and they spend the rest of the series doing Quantum Leap.
Oh my God, if they kill...
Sorry.
If they kill Saru, I think I would be very... I think that's the person I least want to see dead.
Yeah. I thought like he was being the captain. Let him be the captain. Yeah.
He was good as the captain.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, I mean...
But again, it's the confounding of expectations, because last episode, it's like, what's past this prologue? This is now your crew.
Yeah.
This is what we're going to do going forward. Oh, wait, Saru, you're out. Yeah. We got a new captain in. Oh, there's an admiral.
Oh, it's the old captain again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know, everyone dies, they get a new crew next week, and it's like, welcome to season one again.
Back with Philippa Georgiou. Mm.
They've got to find a way to wrap it up. They've got to find a way to wrap it up so that Discovery 2 is wiped from existence like... the history of the Mirror Universe, so that it ties in, so that somehow this entire series ends up being a bottle series, right?
Oh. I don't know. I would be disappointed if it was a bottle series.
Would you?
I think so.
It'll feel like DC Elseworlds, right?
Yeah.
Like all of this happened, but it's not real.
They make one last jump, it overtaxes Stamets. They arrive. They undershoot this time, and they arrive before they found the tardigrade, so they don't know how the spore drive works, and they never do anything. And Stamets dies.
Thanks.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
The Discovery is written off as a expensive experiment that failed.
Just a big white elephant.
Yeah. They don't refer to it as Crossfield class very often, do they? Like, they never really talked about the class.
Of the ship?
Yeah, yeah.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
There was only that one mention.
Yeah, they mentioned it in this week. Yeah. In this week, and I mentioned it once before. And I was like,
You got really excited by that.
I just never noticed that they hadn't mentioned it by name. I thought it was just Discovery class, but then there was another one, the Glenn. Hmm.
The USS Glenn.
Yeah. Those are the things to seize on. They're always talking about them.
There we go. It was an interesting episode. I think it's by far one of my favorites, actually.
I don't know. I would have liked more whiz
You
bang
just
boom.
Wanted more whiz bang
I want yeah, more whiz bang
I felt like I needed a bit more of that.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you get used to it. Like, they've had you on this drug for like 6 or 7 episodes. I'm
now suddenly you show me all these people sort of talking.
Yeah.
Who wants talking? Yeah. It's not a phaser, goddammit.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Let me tell you, Stamets's face at that meeting was great. If you just go back and watch the episode at the debrief meeting, Stamets looks like, I'm bored, get me out of here. I can jump ships into mirror universes.
He's seen things you can't explain. He's been places you don't want to know, man. Meeting, boring.
His face is perfect. And I'm like, yep, that pretty much describes how everyone is feeling right now. Star Trek Discovery, it ends next week, is the final episode of the season. It has been renewed for a season 2, though, but very little information on casting or any of that stuff. They've kept it under wraps really, really well. So we have no idea who's coming back and who's dead.
They have no idea what's going on. They have no idea. The creators, like, I didn't think we'd get a second season.
Now what do we do?
And I don't even know if they're going to follow the original plan, which was that anthology series, right, where every season is a different.
Well, supposedly that was, already they weren't going to do that.
Oh, apparently. They threw it out. So that was apparently. Brian Fuller's plan, right? Yeah.
Okay. But I mean, there's enough that seems to be enough Brian Fullerness in there, like that he did write. I think he wrote the pilot. He wrote some episodes.
I think he wrote the outline.
Maybe they could. Maybe they could still. It's like blow another it up surprise. We were lying about that as well. It's going to be a completely new crew in a completely different time.
That would be disappointing because I love Sonequa Martin-Green. I think she is a super, super strong leading woman. I mean, that's the other point, right? We end this episode and all of the women are in charge.
Yeah.
All of the meninists on Twitter are losing their shit right now.
Are they?
The only man
on the bridge is the one using the Uhura station, right?
Yes. Yeah. Correct. Yeah. It's great. Yeah. All the women in charge. Sarek's off.
Mm. He's not a Starfleet officer.
We don't know if Saru's a man or he's generally asexual, right? Apparently, because they don't reproduce.
Where'd you get that from?
It was during that planet.
They were bred or something.
Yeah, they were bred or something like that.
Also because they're just constantly in fear, they never get around to it or something like that. Yeah.
Sounds like most men in hashtag me too.
What was his threat gangly response this time? Was it before Jojo came on bridge or was it just the Admiral in general?
It was when they warped into Starbase One.
Oh, yeah. Starbase One, yeah, yeah.
And he just went, wah!
Yeah, he was fully erect.
He doesn't do it before Jojo comes on bridge because she might eat it.
She's replaced her ceremonial empire dagger with just some chopsticks to snap at those.
Star Trek Discovery, let us know what you thought of episode 14. You can tweet us. I'm on at Uma Pagan.
I'm at Bahiwai.
At Mr. Rich.
I'm at McNasty Prime.
That's right. Let us know if you're still with the series and what your predictions are for the season finale that takes place next week. You can tweet us. You can also talk to us on Facebook when we post this episode and, you know, make some good predictions and we'll talk about them after next week's podcast as well. You've been listening to Binge Watch. This is At The Movies on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.